the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me, say Christ. Oh, he is, yes, he is enough for me. I said Christ, oh, he is enough for me. And everything I need is in you. Oh, everything I need. One more time, Christ is enough. Oh, Christ is enough for me. I said Christ, oh, he is enough for me. Oh, everything I need is in you. Yes, it is, Lord, everything I need. Amen. Let's just give him a hand of praise. Jesus. Let's just read a scripture tonight. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Salah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him. At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer, amen, tonight. Thank you, Jesus. God, we are so grateful to know that you are our rock. Lord, we're standing on a sure foundation when we're standing on your word. We thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for watching over us through another week, allowing us to come back into the house of the Lord tonight. And God is just... So it's a privilege for us to be here tonight. And Father, we just pray that you bless our gathering, that you and Lord just take complete control over everything that would happen here. Lord, just remove all the weariness and Lord, all the tiredness from the week that we had. And Lord, let us just concentrate on you and just receive from you tonight. We're careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for you alone are worthy to receive it, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Say, you are the Most High God. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Oh, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yes, you are. Say, oh, Jehovah, you are. Well,
yes, you are. Now you are. Oh, Jehovah, hey, hey, oh, ah, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, well, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yes, you are. Say, you are. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, hey. Oh, Jehovah, say. Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. Well, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Oh, Jehovah. Well, Jehovah, hey. Say, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Hallelujah. You are. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yes, you are, Jesus. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. You are. Oh, Jehovah, you are. Hallelujah. Say, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, say, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah. One more time, say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. Say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, ah. Somebody worship him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He is the Most High God. There is none like him. Amen. And I'm so glad tonight to know that he is my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's sing a chorus of There Is None Like You. Amen. There is none like you. We just come to worship him tonight because he alone is worthy to be praised, church. Amen. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like. touch my heart like you do. Well, and I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. You are holy. Say you are holy. Oh, so holy. Yes, you are, Jesus. Say you are holy. Say, oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor. And what a privilege and honor, oh, to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are worthy. You are worthy. You're all so worthy. Yes, you are, Jesus. Say you are worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, so worthy. Well, it's what a privilege and honor, hey, to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are faithful. You are faithful. Yes, you are. Oh, so faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are. You are faithful. Lord, you're oh, so faithful. And what a privilege and honor just to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. Oh, you are holy. Oh, so holy. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for you are holy. Oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor. What a privilege and honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. Oh, say, I just want to be where you are, daily dwelling in your presence. Say, I don't want to worship from afar. Hallelujah. So draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. Say, I just want to be where you are. Oh, daily dwelling in your presence. I don't want to worship. Say, I don't want to worship from afar. Hallelujah. Jesus, draw me near to where you are. Oh my God, say, oh my God, yes, you are my strength and my song. And when I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you make me strong. Hallelujah. So I just want to be where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from
afar. Oh, just draw me near to where you are.
Come on, sing it again.
Oh, say, I just want to be where you are. Hallelujah. Oh, dwelling daily in your presence. Take me to the place. Take me to the place where you are.
I just want to be with you, Jesus.
For I just want to be with you.
Come on, worship him tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God, I want to be with you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name, glory to his name. Amen. We'll let you be seated just for a minute. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Amen. Strength in his presence. There's peace in his presence. Healing in his presence. Whatever we have need of, we find it in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. Let's just make space tonight for anyone that would like to just share testimony. Amen. Just want to give space to anybody. Okay. Yes.
Satan is somewhere trying to get a little attention sometimes, and I was just a little nervous because things went so well, and I found out about him being in that accident. I thank the Lord for sparing him. And one more thing, Saints, you all will just keep Brother Bird in prayer. He has been on medical leave since, I guess, Brother, end of May, but he's scheduled to go back to work on Monday. And he's excited, but he's also nervous as to whether he's ready. But it can't be extended any longer, so he's going to give it a try. And you'll just keep him in your prayer. And whatever the Lord says, so that's what it's going to be.
Thank God for watching over our loved one there. Amen. Certainly appreciate the Lord for doing that. Anybody else just want to share a testimony tonight? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you all. Amen. We'll just read a scripture for tonight. And we'll, as we pray over the word of God, we'll remember our Brother Burrs in prayer as well. We'll read from 2 Peter 1, as we've just been working our way through the seven virtues. Verse 1, 2 Peter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God
and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. But if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. The Lord is a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. God, we are grateful for being able to read the word. But as your prophet said, anybody can turn the pages of the word, but it takes Christ to bring understanding to us. So we ask that you would just enter in now and bring understanding to us. We also want to just bring Brother Burrs before you. God, we have seen a miracle in his life. And we've seen you also rejuvenate him, Lord. The whole fish fry that we had on Sunday was because of the fishing that he's been doing. So we've seen you strengthen his body, rejuvenate him. And now, God, as he just prepares to go back to work and just, you know, a little uncertain, unsure, we ask that you would go before him. We know that you open up that door for him to have that job. We know that there are certain things that you've been involved with all along the journey, so we just ask that you give him the peace that passeth all understanding, that it would guard his heart and mind, and the different people that he would come in contact with, that he would have an opportunity to share his testimony, Lord, of what you've done for him, and that somebody's faith might be increased and believe you, Lord, for the impossible. No matter what the case is, no matter what the situation is, it is not beyond your reach. So we just pray, God, that you'd be with him during this time, and that you would just give him your strength, God, to endure is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We want to just kind of go forward in our thoughts on the statue of a perfect man. Tonight we want to talk about knowledge. Brother Branham has just kind of laid some things out here for us in the message on the statue of a perfect man, and we want to just we've talked about faith, and we talked about virtue last week on insufficient funds. Faith is a foundation, but virtue, amen, is something where you know, it's powerful service, and you know, something that Jesus had when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment. Virtue left his body, and that's something that he requires for his church to have as well. There are opportunities where we'll run into people that will certainly require some virtue from us. They'll need to get something from us, but we have to have it on the inside in order to be able to give it out to others. Knowledge is also one of those virtues, you know, that is required. Peter said, to your faith, add virtue, and then to your virtue, add knowledge. Now, I want to read a couple things here because this knowledge is not necessarily head knowledge, amen, or worldly knowledge, if we call it, if we can just use those words. That's not what God is talking about. You know, there are many people that go to school, amen, to become better Christians. There's people that go to school in order to, you know, learn how to preach the word of God. There's, you know, I've run into, or even heard other ministers run into different people. Like, I think I was just talking with Brother Trevor, and he had to preach a funeral service, and after he finished preaching the funeral, just the way that the Lord used him to kind of tie some things together there in the service. After he finished preaching, somebody walked up to him and said, you know, so what Bible college did you go to, you know, to kind of understand the word? He's like, brother, I didn't go to no Bible college. Like, well, where did you get that from? Well, that's godly knowledge, right? Knowledge of the scripture, amen, knowing how to rightly divide the word of God and apply it, not just when preaching, but even when you're going through things. You need the knowledge of the word of God, amen, so you know how to rightly apply it. Because you know what? People can throw anything at you, right? And sometimes, amen, I hate to say it, it's, you know, you got to watch people that's, that have knowledge of the word. I mean, people that know the message, just like you know the message, right? Because people just throw things at you, and sometimes they're doing it in a way to manipulate you, all right? And there's other times where there's some people that's going to come against you just because you'll stand on the word of God. You know, here you say you believe that, you know, Jesus Christ is God. Well, you're going to have to prove that by the scripture, right? Other things that you believe as far as baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, people want to see you prove that by scripture, right? You just can't say these things, but you got to have godly knowledge. And if you don't have godly knowledge, what will happen is that people will twist you up, right? I mean, they'll come to you with all kind of things and like, well, you know, I ain't never seen it that way before, but it's wrong. I was just listening to a preacher preach last night, and man, you know, I mean, it's a very, very well-known and very respected minister, and you know, as he was just preaching, I'm listening, you know, and I'm not going to call his name, because I call his name, most of y'all would know him, but you know, he was just preaching, and as I'm sitting there listening, I said, no, that ain't right, you know, that part ain't right, and then I'm going to tell you another thing, man, if you don't know the message, people can quote things to you, and you don't even know whether Brother Branham said it or not. Right? I mean, you got to, if you know the message, amen, you know, if you listen to the tapes and you read the books, then people just can't throw anything your way. Right? They just can't kind of come up with all kind of stuff. This brother was just preaching and going, I'm like, man, that ain't what the prophet said. And he said, no, that ain't right. That don't sound right, you know. And as he just kind of kept going, I said, okay, I just got to shut it off, because this ain't right. If it ain't start not right, it can't end up right. Right? I mean, so, you know, I'm like, Lord, this is just, I hate to see somebody go this far off the word. And then I'm sitting there looking at, you know, the members of the church and everybody on their feet just eating it up. And it's wrong doctrine, right? Everything about it is completely wrong, but everybody eating it up. And I'm like, you know, it's easy to say amen when everybody else is saying it. Right? But that's not what God's looking for. I mean, sometimes you have to, you know, sit on your seat a little bit and say, wait a minute now, let me make sure that's right. You know, and anybody know me, you know, I mean, you know, we certainly love to have fellowship with different saints, and, you know, we love for different ministers to come in. And now, if we know somebody going to preach wrong doctrine, we won't let them come through. We just won't do that. But sometimes, you know, you just kind of get to know people, so you just try to be cordial and everything. But we know they go take off with the word, and, you know, I mean, I love what Brother Fred made a comment. He said, you know, y'all might think we're a little wild. Right, y'all see the people up here shouting and praising God over the word of God. Say, but you say something wrong behind the pulpit, and see how wild we are. Right, I mean, you'll find us. I mean, you know, most saints just kind of sit there. Well, that's what you'll find with us. You start saying something that's a little off, you're gonna get too many amens. You might get a, You know, you hear one of them. I mean, that ain't an amen. That means that didn't go down right. Right, that didn't. I wasn't able to swallow that because knowledge tell me that's wrong. Amen. Right, I mean, I've studied the message. I know the prophet's voice, and that's just wrong. And I remember years ago, you know, we were in Africa, and you know, they had just released the seven church age message. They put it on tape, the edited version of the book. But see, Brother Branham had passed away. The book was actually released in 1965. And the Lord called him home, the book was released December 1965, and the Lord called him home in December of 1965. But somebody else said went through and they, you know, like they had the Bible on tape. You know, they took the seven church ages and put it on tape. So I was with a couple of brothers, and we were over in Africa, and it was just released. We had never heard it before. So this brother was driving us around in his vehicle, and he had, you know, that tape playing. And then I'm listening, you know, to the voice on the tape. I said, now, that ain't Brother Branham's voice.
But man, whoever this guy that's saying whatever he's saying, man, that ain't nothing but the truth, you know. And all the other brothers like, amen, that's right, amen, amen, wow. You know, and everybody just amen in the word. And then the brother say, oh, no, what they did is they took the church age book and they just started reading it, so they have the church age on tape. I said, okay. I said, I knew it was what the prophet was saying. Even though it wasn't the prophet's voice, I knew that was the message, right? So knowledge, when you got godly knowledge, can't nobody just throw anything over on you. Amen, amen, church. Come on now, whether it's a minister or whether it's even something that's happening within the family, people just can't cross you up because you got knowledge of what the message says and knowledge of what the Bible says. Amen. All right, come on now. Let's look at something here. The prophet says this. I want to read this out of Statue of a Perfect Man. I'm at paragraph 25-6. Amen. Let's look at this. Knowledge. He says, now first it's faith, then virtue. And then thirdly, you add knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge, now that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge what's right, judge what? Right from wrong. That you got to have knowledge to be able to judge right from wrong. I mean, it says, how do you judge? Come on now. I know I'm talking good. I feel like I'm talking good tonight anyway. But, you know, I mean, you got to be able to judge right from wrong. You got to be able to tell when somebody is misapplying the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Because people will use the word in order to influence you to do what they want you to do. Right? And you can't be influenced that way. Right? I mean, you know, the angel of the Lord told the prophet that the bride will stand still. She won't do nothing. She'll wait on thus saith the Lord. Say, nobody can make her do otherwise. Come on now. Mama can't make you do otherwise. Daddy can't make you do otherwise. A visiting minister can't make you do otherwise. Huh? Husband can't make you do otherwise. Wife can't make you do otherwise. Children can't make you do otherwise because you're waiting on God to speak to you. All right, church. Glory to God. Look at this. It says, but knowledge to judge what? Right from wrong. Say, how do you judge it then if you've got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith, you judge whether the word is right or wrong? Oh, my God. Look, Eve failed in this area, right? Eve, not that she didn't have understanding or knowledge of what God said. She could actually quote back what God said to the serpent. But when the serpent just began to act, well, now you won't surely die, she began to reason with that. And that's where most of us get in trouble, when we begin to reason with the word of God. When God has already given you a revelation or something, you better stay with that revelation. Amen. Know what's right and what's wrong and stay with what is right. Hallelujah. Look at this. He says, how do you judge it then if you've got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith? You judge whether the word is right or wrong. And if you can lay aside all your creeds and all your unbelief, everything that you claim you have done, then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. See, now you're getting knowledge. That's supreme knowledge. Says you don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it, because all these virtues are given to you by God to place upon the foundation of your faith, that you might come to the full stature of a real living man of God. Yes, sir. I love this. You know, there was a time, I believe Brother Solomon, he was testifying to me about a time that he had run into some people, and they got to talking about, you know, the word of God, and I believe they were talking about water baptism, and Brother Solomon just began to kind of work through some scriptures with him and say, you know, this is what we believe. So, you know, the person that he was talking to, I think they got a little crossed up in the scripture, and they didn't know what to say. So he said, let me go get my bishop. And they went and got their bishop, and, you know, Brother Solomon wasn't intimidated. Just because you're going to get your bishop. No, I know where I stand in the word of God, right? So yeah, okay, go get the bishop. Bishop come and start talking, and, you know, and then as they start going through the scriptures, and Brother Solomon just begin to break some things down, you know, the man say, you must follow the teachings of William Branham. Yes, exactly right. You know about him, huh? So that's exactly what I follow, right? I mean, he and the man just kind of just stopped right there. Nothing else he could say because he knew he was on the word. Oh, my. See, I mean, there's some people that will discard these things just because they're getting paid, right? But they, it's not, I mean, they just don't want to preach that truth because they're going to lose members. But, you know, church, we got to know we stand on the word of God. God will back up his word. Amen. Amen. Members or no members, yes. Stay with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Amen. All right, let me just go on here. I want to read a little bit more here in that same quote. The prophet says, add knowledge, because knowledge of his word, you must believe it in this way. You should believe today that and accept it that the days of miracles is not past. Knowledge that what God says, God is able to perform. Abraham believed that, and when he was 100 years old, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Look how ridiculous that word looked. Here's a man 100 years old looking for a baby to be born into his home by a woman 90 years old. See, almost 50 years of past barren. Lived with her since she was a young girl or a teenage, and here he is. His life stream was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, and all hopes was gone as far as hopes. But yet, against hope, he believed in hope because he had knowledge that God was able to keep everything that he promised. You know, and that's the key. And I wanna read that in a second. When God reveals it to you, you know, you got knowledge, amen. That and that's a heavenly God knowledge, a godly knowledge that God gives you. It goes against worldly knowledge. It goes against it, right? I mean, here God's showing you something in the scripture, and you just got to stay with it. When God shows you Deuteronomy 22:5, you just got to stay with it. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it might go against popular opinion. It might go against what everybody else is doing in the world, but God said it this way, so we got to stay with it. God gave us knowledge of the scripture. Mm-hmm. Amen. I remember a situation where this young lady, you know, she was she started believing in the message and believing, you know, Brother Branham's teachings on what happened in the garden. And I'm going to tell you, when you open, when God just begins to reveal this word to you, you'll start finding all kind of scriptures to support the what you believe if you read the word of God, right? You'll find all kind of scriptures. So this lady, I mean, this sister, she was just really holding to the word of God. But her mother just did not like, you know, the message. She thought that this was a cult. And, you know, she was just going through this kind of, you know, giving a real hard time. Why are you holding to that? I mean, that's wrong. So, you know, they got to talking about the serpent seed one day, and the young lady just kind of took her mama. Now, I never heard Brother Branham even bring this scripture out. But this young lady, because she was reading the word of God, God gave her knowledge. And at the time when she was going through her great trial, when somebody was questioning her about what she believed, she was able to dig right back into the word and show them something, make them think about it. Now, and she went to this in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Now, you know, when you really look at that, now, why is Solomon placing adultery, amen, why is he comparing that to like eating, right? Why is it, he says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. I mean, adultery ain't got nothing to do with eating, right? But Solomon kind of put these two thoughts together, and this is God's word. This is what Solomon was thinking, right? Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Right? So now when you look back at what happened in the Garden of Eden, we say Eve committed adultery. Right? And when we talk about eating from a tree of knowledge, good and evil, that was adultery that happened there. And here Solomon kind of puts the same thought in Scripture. Right, so I mean, when you start talking about serpent seed and what happened there, God got scripture right there lined up, and God will give you knowledge on what scriptures to use in order to be able to maybe settle somebody's heart. When a mama heard that scripture, just kind of stopped the argument right there. God give you knowledge. I want to just kind of share something else with you here. Oh my God, my God, my God, we need knowledge. I was one time. Witnessing, and we got into a real nice discussion line up Luke 21 for me, Luke 21, verse 12. We got into a real good discussion, and we were talking about Revelation 7, I believe, that where it talks about the two witnesses, or it might be Revelation 7 or 11, one of them, I can't remember right now. But we were talking about the two witnesses, and so this person was telling me, no, them two witnesses, one of them is Enoch, and one is Moses. And I'm like, no, it's not Enoch, and it's Elijah and Moses. And he said, no, it's Enoch and Moses. And we were just going back and forth. And man, they had their thoughts as to why it was Enoch and Moses, and that's Revelation 11. And at the time, you know, I was still a young Christian. The only reason I would say it's Elijah and Moses is because I knew what Brother Branham said, right? I knew Brother Branham taught it that way, and I wasn't going to let nobody change me, you know. But I'm sitting there now. Sometimes you run into people where you just can't tell them Brother Branham said, because they don't know Brother Branham, or they don't receive Brother Branham as a prophet. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, no, I know it. I know it's Elijah and Moses. I know it's Elijah and Moses. And, you know, he just kept saying Enoch and Moses. We were just deadlocked. It was a couple of us out there talking. And all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of dropped down. A revelation just kind of dropped down in me as to why it was Elijah, you know. And as I begin to just kind of share, you know, my revelation, you could just see the whole atmosphere change. One of the brothers that was with me, you know, he like, that's it. We almost had a shouting good time because revelation dropped. God gave knowledge at the moment that we needed it, right? And later on, what I come to find out is that even though the Bible does not say Elijah and Moses, when you read the scripture in Revelation 11, you'll see that it talks about their ministries. By identifying their ministries, that's how we know who the two witnesses are, amen, right? So, church, God would give you knowledge of his word, no matter what schools are teaching. Amen. God want to teach you his word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 12. Look at this. Thank you, Jesus. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Right? Sometimes you get called into situations, and here the Jesus is kind of saying his words. They'll bring you before, they'll lay hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up into synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, for the things that you believe regarding Christ. Right? Says, it shall turn you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. And I love this scripture. This is a promise. Verse 15 says, For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Look at that. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And I experienced that. God would give you, God would pretty much anoint you to say what you need to say at the time that you need to say it. Don't even plan it, church. Don't even try to plan it. God will anoint you. All you got to do is while you're at peace, make sure you're sowing the word of God into your spirit. Listen to it on the radio. Listen to it on your phone or whatever. Get the word of God sowed into your spirit, because you never know when you're going to need it. That's the knowledge of God that will help you overcome the devil. Oh, praise his holy name. God will give you a mouth and wisdom. I want to give a couple examples of this. Brother Branham kind of brings a couple things out here in Statue of a Perfect Man. And let me see here. Oh, my God, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom. My God. Okay, yeah, let me skip down to paragraph 30-3. I'm going to skip down to that. And I'm actually going to start right above it. Right above it, there's a paragraph right above it. Talk about the tax case. The prophet says this. Say this tax case. Actually, I'll just start at 30-1. It says, all right, now knowledge. Now, not worldly knowledge, but it's heavenly knowledge. And heavenly knowledge, when God is the fountain
of all knowledge, and God is the Word, then if you've got heavenly knowledge, you believe the Word, and you reason anything by the Word. See, this tax case that the church has been in, or I have been in, one of the men one time in a little hearing told me, says, they couldn't find nothing wrong, so they began to, and I said, well, then if there's nothing wrong, why don't you get off my back, see? And he says, he went ahead telling me about some scriptures. He said, great big fellow with a cigarette in his hand. He said, Mr. Branham, I am a Bible student. I said, I'm glad to hear that. He said, now I want to know what this superstition you charge for these handkerchiefs you send out, that little superstition of praying over the handkerchiefs and send them out, them anointed cloths, you call them cloths. He said, then you charge for those. Now, you know, this is a tax case, and, you know, he's trying to figure out, how do I even answer these guys? But God had to give him knowledge. And sometimes when you're talking with people, just give them enough rope, they'll hang theyself. Before you just blurt out all kind of things, just let them keep talking. Right? This man first is trying to intimidate the prophet by saying, I'm a Bible student. That don't mean anything, because they teach it wrong in the Bible colleges. All right? So he says, what superstition is this? You charge for these handkerchiefs and you send them out. That little superstition of praying over the handkerchiefs and send them out. Them anointed cloths, you call them cloths. He said, then you charge for those. I said, no, sir, there's no charge to it. And he said, well, on this superstition, I said, you call it a superstition. Sir, you told me a few minutes ago that you was a Bible student. He said, I am. I said, quote to me Acts 19:11. It says, knowledge trapped his own self right into it. Tried to change the subject. I said, then quote to me John 5:14. Couldn't do it. I said, then James 5:14. He couldn't do it. I said, do you know John 3:16? See, knowledge, smart world, but Mr. Branham, you're trying to try this case by a Bible. We're trying it by the laws of the land. Now, he tied himself up again. He said, I said, sir, isn't the laws of the land based upon the Bible? That then is justice. Amen. I said, see, God gave him knowledge. God gave him a mouth and wisdom as to what to say when he runs himself into a little situation. I want to give you a couple more examples of that. God will give you a mouth and wisdom, knowledge. This is going to come out of the Queen of Sheba. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God will give you a mouth and wisdom. He will give it to you, church. You just wait on it. He'll give it to you. He's not going to let you be made ashamed. Amen. He'll never let you be made ashamed. Look at this in the Queen of Sheba. This is a quote about a famous preacher by the name of Jack Cope. And he was here in Florida going through a great trial. And look at what the prophet says. He says, it just goes to show a person has to be ordained of God to believe, or they'll never believe anyhow. See, they have nothing to believe with. And Brother Branham said, in non-seed, there's nothing there to quicken. Right? They have to be ordained of God to believe, or they'll never believe anyhow. They have nothing to believe with. See, they just don't have no depths of their soul. I have known of many men that has been put under an oxygen tent and given penicillin and so forth by the doctor and completely healed with say pneumonia, and the person left the hospital completely well with pneumonia, and a week later die with pneumonia. He just taken pneumonia again, that's all. But he was healed. Look, it says, and then when the late honorable brother, Jack Cole, had his trial, when a certain denomination of church has took sides with the infidel to fight against Brother Cole down in Florida at his trial, and then the judge willingly to show justice, and yet the churchmen, as the paper gave, had turned against Brother Cole and had joined up with Joe Lewis, the free thinker, infidel, and calling themselves a notable church. But just because they were so against Christ and against healing, but shows how it comes out all right. Says the judge said, Mr. Cole, do you still claim that this child was healed? Now he's standing in the courtroom and he's before the judge being accused of a person, a little boy that got healed, but actually fell into his mama's arms, and they felt that the boy didn't get healed, and that he was just kind of worked up, and Mr. Coe had him worked up. So now he's standing, and a church is standing against him. See, God will give you a mouth and wisdom. Look at what happens here. It says, do you still claim that this child was healed? He said, I claim Christ healed the child. And he said, he took his braces off on one side of the platform in the presence of Mr. Coe, walked across the platform, and fell at his mother, crippled. And he said, could you show me any place, if there's anyone here can show me any place in the Bible that Christ ever did a trick like that, I'll be willing to forfeit the case. Just give them enough time, they will hang their own selves. Now, you know, Mr. Coe didn't know what to do at that time. I mean, sometimes you can't think about what to do. Just wait. Be calm, right? What's that? Them things that be calm. Wait on God, right? Be calm. God gonna show up. And here, you know, Mr. Coe just standing there in the courtroom. Now, what am I gonna say? This judge just put me on the spot here, a little nervous. What am I gonna say? Well, God had another Christian sitting right there with him. Look at this. Says, I'll be willing to forfeit this case. And Reverend Gordon Lindsay, one of your Oregon boys here, raised up and said, I can produce the case. It says, Mr. Lindsay gave him the case. He said, one night, Jesus came walking on the water. And he said, Peter screamed from the boat, and the rest of them said, if thou be the Christ, Lord, bid me to come to you on water. And Peter stepped down out of the boat, started walking towards Jesus, normally on the water, but when he got scared, he sank. God gave the man knowledge right there in the courtroom. Amen. On how to handle that case. See, the judge put it out there. Now, we got something to help you out, Judge. We're going to give you an example right out of the scripture. In Jesus' day, this happened. Amen. Come on now. That was knowledge. That's the mouth and the wisdom that I'm talking about. Amen. So Brother Branham say that settled it. Yeah. Certainly, you can be healed 1 minute and sick the next. Yeah. See, it depends on how long your faith holds out. Yeah. Oh, my God. And faith is all what? Divine healing and salvation is nothing that we as individuals can do. It's already a finished work that Christ did at Calvary. It's our faith in that finished work. There was, another situation, and Brother Branham bring it out in this in Stature of a Perfect Man. I won't read it all. But there was a guy walking into the church, man. He was upset, and he just couldn't wait to stand up and tell everybody our Brother Branham was an antichrist. You know, he was false. He was an antichrist. And when he started out, and this man walked in, there was a bunch of preachers there with Brother Branham that night. And he started out, and just every brother in there was about to tear this man apart. So Brother Branham said, please, y'all calm down. It's just one of him and a whole bunch of us. But please, please let him finish what he got to say. And furthermore, he jumped on me, not y'all. So let me handle this. And, they went to going back and forth, and the man made some comment about, the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was only for the 12 disciples. And as he began to kind of share his thoughts on that, Brother Branham just started running right through scripture, saying, you know, what about John the Baptist being filled with the Holy Ghost? What about Paul being filled with the Holy Ghost? What about this person being filled with the Holy Ghost? He says, what about Philip, being filled with the Holy Ghost? You know, you can't come with things like that and not think that there's, if you don't have enough scripture to support yourself, then you're going to kind of look bad in front of the people. But just sitting there waiting on God, God gave him all the scriptures that he needed to settle that man's heart, right? Here he comes, calling him an antichrist, but by the time he left there and had scripture, he knew better than to step back and call him antichrist again. Let's go on. I want to read something out of the Bible here. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's read that together. Verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham had knowledge that what God had revealed to him, it was going to come to pass. His knowledge was, and see, a worldly knowledge, as we get that lined up, just so that you understand, worldly knowledge is based on facts, based on information, skills acquired by a person through experience or education. And when you're dealing with God, The only fact that you got is that God is God, right? And what he says does come to pass. Yeah. When Abraham had to stand out there and believe God for, amen, this child, he had nobody that he could look to before and say, you know what? They heard from God and they received the child, and And if God spoke to them, then he speak to me. Abraham did not have that. But he had knowledge that the God that he knew was able to perform what he said. Church, that's the type of faith that we got to have. And when we got knowledge and we believe that, you know, we can add that to our virtue. We can add that to our faith. Look at this. Romans 4, verse 16. Let's look at Abraham. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. I mean, this is Abraham's faith. God revealed something to him. Abraham began to call those things that be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Just a quick story on that where he called those things which be not as though they were. I remember we were at church there at Brother Wesco's, and man, the anointing was in one of the services, and he just began to just he just began to speak by faith. And Brother Gene was there that day, and Brother Gene had married his wife back in Haiti, but you know they would not allow her to come here to the United States. And so he was just kind of, you know, having Brother Wesco be in prayer. And one day Brother Wesco preaching and got anointed, say, Brother Gene, get ready for your wife to come, you know, to come join you in the United States. And he just spoke it by faith. So Brother Gene caught it by faith, and he began to act like his wife was coming. So Brother Gene went home, bought some paint, started painting the house, right? I mean, he had to get the place ready for his wife. And everything he needed to do, he just started getting the place ready. Had not heard a word from the government. But after he got everything prepared and he moved out by faith, I mean, within a couple weeks, he got word from the government that his wife was going to be released to come here to the United States. See, I mean, church, when God speaks something to you, you got the knowledge right there. You got to begin to add that to your faith, right? Now you begin to act like it, you know, talk like it, walk like it. Amen. I mean, act like it's already done, church, because God gave you knowledge of it. Oh, my God, my God. You know, another thing about worldly knowledge, when you have a knowledge about certain things, then it actually allows you to be able to respond to situations a little quickly, right? I mean, or you might be able to respond a little different because you got knowledge. You already, you know, I know how that's going to happen, so let me do this. I know how this person, let me do that. You get that. I mean, you got that type of knowledge. That's the way it got to be spiritually. When you already know God has revealed to you, just begin to act like it's already done. Begin to conduct yourself in a way that it is already done. Praise God. Look at this. Romans 4, verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Amen. Can I just prophesy tonight? I'm prophesying Friday night we're going to have full house. Full house. Friday night's going to be full house. Not because we got a special meeting. Amen. Right? Just because people want to be in church. Amen. Friday night going to be full house. Amen. So I'm a preach on Friday night like I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Amen, amen, church. We're going to act like we're going to come and worship on Friday night like we worshiping on Sunday morning. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I'm speaking that by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Look, it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham wasn't even considering any of those things. Look, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, you know, Brother Hugo just finished preaching on this, and you know, you look at these particular scriptures. Now, when you go back in Genesis and you look at Abraham and
Man, when he first got the promise that he was going to receive this son, the Bible says Abraham laughed, just like Sarah laughed, right? Abraham laughed, and not only that, Abraham allowed Sarah to talk him into going into Hagar and having a baby by Hagar, right? I mean, that showed doubt. That showed an element of doubt by him doing that. God didn't say he was going to have no baby by Hagar. God said you're going to have a baby by Sarah, your wife, right? But here, you know, sometimes we might think that we don't have no faith. That's just the devil trying to tell us that we ain't got no faith. God sees something else inside of us. Oh, hallelujah, church. Amen. It's the devil to try to make us, amen, just doubt and disbelieve and all these other things. But God sees something. God sees us pressing right through that unbelief. God sees us pressing right over the top of that doubt.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Satan's going to always be there to try to get you sidetracked and things like that. But you just keep pressing on. Keep quoting the word of God. God reveal it to you, just stay with it, church.
Amen.
All right, let's go on and say, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. I like that, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God, you're going to make the promise to me, I know you can bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Amen. Says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him or accounted to him. See, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Amen. Abraham was a person that was acting with knowledge. God revealed it to him. Amen. He began to act and carry out things no matter what anybody else said, no matter what they thought. God gave him the understanding that it was going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Didn't look at his body, didn't look at his wife's body, but he looked at the promise of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just look at something else here that I just want to bring to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. The prophet says this. I'm going back to the statue of a perfect man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is paragraph 28-5. Look at this. The prophet says, now there'll be another thing on this knowledge we might speak of. Godly knowledge, see? Has the Bible in this day lost its meaning? See, a lot of people tell you that the Bible doesn't exactly mean that. See, and we don't heard that. It don't mean that. You know, that's Old Testament. Well, is it still God's word? Well, I mean, and when I get people on that type of discussions, well, that's Old Testament. Say, well, now, what about the Ten Commandments? Is that Old Testament? You know. And then there's some, you know, there's a lot of other promises in there. You know, if you're going to quote Isaiah 53, that's Old Testament, right? You're going to say, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, that's Old Testament, right? You can't pick and choose which parts you're going to follow and which parts you're not going to follow. I mean, we either going to follow it all or we're not going to follow nothing of it, right? I mean, but people like to use that. Well, that's Old Testament. There's many churches now that don't believe what they used to believe because they say that's Old Testament. And so the question comes up, you know, has the Bible lost its meaning? Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, the church got to answer that. Has the Bible lost its meaning, amen, just because it's not fitting with our customs and our times? God don't have to change. We the ones have to change. Look at this. It says, has the Bible in this day lost its meaning? See, a lot of people tell you that the Bible doesn't exactly mean that. You need knowledge, right? If God watches over me, look at this, look at the way he puts it. If God watches over me and corrects me in my sin, and if I'm a son of God, he does that, he does you that way. Sons and daughters, when you do anything wrong, he corrects you. Then if God is so particular about you, that he watches over you and corrects you, How much more has he his word, which is your example, which is himself? That means if God is watching over us and correcting us when we go wrong, God is also watching over his word. And with his word, with the word being Christ, it will never be wrong. Oh my. God isn't just throwing things out there just to be throwing them out there. God is saying things, you know, for just for, you know, old times, you know, this was for their customs and this was for their ways. God had purpose for everything he said. And a lot of that tied right into the New Testament. We just got to pick up and follow and just move out with it, church. Amen. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word and made flesh and dwelt among us. And I was just thinking on that statement that he made. God watches over his word. I remember when Brother Branham was preaching the seals. And as he was preaching the seals, there were a couple of things that happened. You know, one time he quoted a scripture, and he said there were 700 that bowed. You know, 700 that didn't bow their knee to Baal. Well, the scripture says 7,000. Well, you know, what he did is after he created one night where people could just ask questions, and he gave did a questions and answer session. So he began to answer the question. When somebody said, you know, Brother Branham, you said 700 the other night. Was it 700 or was it 7,000? He said, look, y'all, take what the Bible says. You know, I made a mistake. I'm a man. I made a mistake. But please take what the Bible says. That's exactly what you're supposed to do, right? And but while he was there answering those questions, there was somebody asked him a question about something in Revelation 5. And Brother Branham answered it real quick. And when he answered the question, you know, the Holy Spirit just began to kind of bring him under conviction at that moment. He like, I don't know what's wrong. He said, you know, is somebody sick? Somebody need prayer? One of the brothers raised up and said, brother, please read the question again. So when he read the question again, he said, oh, man, I've answered that question wrong. And God didn't want me to go any further, amen, with that. I had to stop and make that thing right. So God was watching over his word even before he preached the seals. The angel of the Lord would show up in his room. He would take out his own notes and begin to try to compare those notes. And the angel would say, no, that's not right. This is how this seal, this is what this seal means. He began, the angel of the Lord would unveil each seal to him every day. That was God watching over his word. Church, we can trust this. We can bear our weight on this because this has been vindicated by the angel of the Lord. Knowledge. We got to add knowledge to our virtue. Let me read one more here. Paragraph 29-4. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let me actually start me at paragraph 28-6. We'll read a few more and then we'll close here tonight. Knowledge. Oh, God. All right, it says here, the word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, so Christ being revealed in his word, and if he's watched over you, when you transgress these laws, he condemns you for it. How much more has he watched over his law that condemns you? Amen. Don't tell me that stuff. I believe in genuine Holy Ghost knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge will always punctuate the word with amen. When you get these things that seem to contradict themselves in the Bible, you sat down and study it and prayerfully like that, and the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit begins to move in. After a while, you see it ties together, and there you got it. See, that's knowledge. You know, that happened when Brother Branham went there amongst those Pentecostals. They saw the one guy that was living right and prophesying, the other guy that was living wrong and interpreting. But when God showed him, you know, according to the scripture, that was supposed to be there, he had knowledge. Now he could receive that gift. And he knew exactly, you know, when Satan was there and when he knew it, when God was there. But he had knowledge. He didn't have to speak against it. He didn't have to be afraid of it. He had knowledge. He knew exactly what to expect. Look, he says, some of them say, well, now the Bible said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church says, in a certain sense, he's the same. Oh, no, you done broke the gap right there. See, yes, sir, no, sir, he is the same. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference in him at all. He lives in his church doing the same things. A little while, as I quoted a while ago, a little while, the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for he said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world.
Again, the works that I do shall you do also. Again, he said, I will be the vine, you'll be the branches, and the branch only lives by the life of the vine. Whatever's in the vine comes out through the branch. Glory, then Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever, produces the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowledge, not worldly, it reasons. Any kind of worldly knowledge reasons. See, but faith has no reasoning. God reveals to you a certain things going to happen. Every scientist in the world could say it's contrary. It could not happen. You believe it anyhow. Yes, sir, it don't reason. The Bible said that we cast down reasons. You don't reason with faith. Faith has no reasoning. Faith knows where it's at. Faith acts. Faith holds on. It can move. It can't move. Nothing can move it. I don't care whatever says this, that, or the other. It doesn't move a bit. It stays right there. Wait, wait, wait. Don't make any difference. Stays right there. No matter how long you have to wait, faith stays right there. And you got knowledge to know that God said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or anybody else believe it, it's still settled. So we got one thing to do, and I want to leave you with this scripture tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I'm going to leave you with two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got knowledge. God said it. God gave me knowledge of it, understanding of it. And I'm going to hold on to that. I'm adding that to my faith. I'm not letting it go. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15. And look at this, verse 33. And then I'm also going to go to 2 Corinthians 10 after that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. It says, and be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. See, and what Paul is kind of working with here is that, you know, you're going to have all kind of people coming against you, you know, but some people just don't have the knowledge of God, but you have it, right? Like I mentioned earlier, a none seed, there's nothing there to quicken, right? But you have it, so you just keep working with what God gave you. Amen. Keep standing on what God gave you. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? You know, there's some people that come to you just because they're looking for a good argument, right? But just take the knowledge of God. And also, you know, take the wisdom of God to know that, look, you know, you ain't got to answer every question. The Bible actually tell you to avoid foolish questions, profane babblings. The Bible tell you to avoid that, right? So you ain't got to answer everybody. But God will give you knowledge on what you need to say when you need to say it. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Some have not the knowledge of God, but we thank God he's given it to us. Verse 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to wait, wait, wait. Apply the knowledge of God to it. It's going to come to pass. Amen. Verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I love that, church. We got to even bring our thinking in captivity. If your thoughts are against the word of God, you got to bind your thoughts, right? You got to bring your thoughts into captivity. Make sure you only think. I mean, the scriptures say what sort of things are just and what sort of things are pure, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think on negative things. Don't allow the devil to just bombard your mind with negative things. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to step out with faith. I'm going to add to my faith virtue. And to my virtue, I'm going to add godly knowledge. Amen. God richly bless you tonight. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, for this just a little teaching. Your prophet told us that, Lord, this is going to tie the man that's going to be redeemed, the man that's going to be in that eternal church age. This message on teaching will tie that man into that. And God, we thank you that you have brought revelation to our hearts, that we can walk in the knowledge of your word, your truth, not be shook, Lord, by everything else that's going on around us. There's so many people that, Lord, consider themselves, Lord, learned or educated. But God, sometimes the education, Lord, is taking us further and further away from you. I thank you, Lord, that you reveal your truth to babes such as would learn. And God, we are those babes that we want to learn. We want to know the truth. And God, when we find ourselves in situations where different ones are questioning us about why we stand the way we stand, God, give us a mouth and wisdom to be able to share with them, Lord, the things that we need to share, that maybe, Lord, we might be able to win somebody to Christ. Lord, let us not be ashamed of who we are and what we believe. Let us not be ashamed. Yes, we know that we may find ourselves, Lord, as outcasts, and maybe Lord, just kind of set out to the side, because there's not many that's holding to this word. But God, we're doing everything we can to stay true to it. And Lord, we just know that you'll manifest yourself on our behalf when we have need of. Help us, Lord, to add knowledge to our virtue, which has been added to our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare tonight for, amen, tonight's time. And we'll prepare to let you go for tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. No matter how long you have to wait, church, just keep waiting. God will bring it to pass. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday for our prayer service at 7 a.m. Amen. Our Sunday school, 9:30. Regular service at 10:30. And don't forget, Sunday also is a time for our communion. Amen. Evening. And I just encourage everyone, amen, all the believers to participate in communion. It's a very, very special service, very precious service, because when we get to heaven, the very first thing that'll happen when we get there will be communion. So let's do it here on earth while we're here, amen, in preparation for that great day when we meet our Lord and Savior. To see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. The ability to come, Lord, and just give tonight. We trust that you would just use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. May you bless, Lord, every hand that gives, those that have a desire but are unable to. We pray that you would bless. And God, we trust that you just continue to meet the needs of every family of this church, meet the needs, Lord, of this church. And we thank you in advance for our school and church that you are providing for us. Thank you, Lord, for just all that you have in store. God, we lay claim to every promise that you have made.
God, we'll walk in the knowledge of your truth, knowing that if you've made the promise, then it can't fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless you.